everyone. My name's Liam Devlin from Byron Bay, Australia. We have some amazing people here. First and foremost, Megan Lacasse, Pier 66. Woo, thank Megan. You for showing up. I appreciate it. Haven't seen you in a long time. How are you? So many amazing people here. You can't single out anyone. It's very difficult. You're all rock stars, in my opinion. I just want to take one little cheeky moment here and just do three little breaths. So we're going to breathe in. We're going to hold it for 2 seconds and breathe out. Just close your eyes. Zone out. Nice breathe. Ready? Breathing in. Hold it. Breathe out. Breathing in. Hold it. Breathe out. Breathing in. Hold it, breathe out. First time I've ever done that, but okay. It feels good. It's good. He's just rolling with it. Wandering Yachts, good to see you. Yachts Chews, good to see you. Everyone else well? Northrop and Johnson, full respect. First and foremost, it's for the owner, Mr. Jim Glidewell, we're doing this. Mr. Glidewell is a unique human being. He's very special in the industry. He really embraces what we're trying to do here in terms of branding, in terms of moving the product forward, which is a luxury side of yachting. We have a wonderful board across here. I won't take too much longer. I just want to thank Mr. Glywell, and I also want to thank the wonderful crew of Motor Yacht & Bridal, plus all the crews out there in the industry. I think we're very proud to get Crew of the Month, but what I've noticed in the last couple of seminars we've done, people say it's different what we do. It's not different. Every yacht here beside us have an exceptional standard. All captains in the industry have an exceptional standard. The other reason I'm putting this on today is only 3% of the yachting industry is female captains. It's not enough. We have to make a difference. People have to stand up. A lot of young junior stews are coming through, females, males. We have to try and break that diversity down and get more females in senior roles as officers on board yachts. That's from my opinion. That's how we can help change industry. Without further ado, I just want to give a shout out to Yacht International Radio, Stefan, also Moby Media, Ariana, and a good friend of mine and soon to be father, Alex from Yachty World. Welcome to the world of fatherhood.
Good luck, Alex.
Hoorah. Without further, it's all about your wife, Alex, sorry, your partner. It's all about louder. Anyway, we'll pass you over to Ariana. Thank you, ladies. Marcy, Kevin Kelly, Kim, Andrea.
Thank you, Cap, and thank you all for showing up here at the last day of the boat show for this awesome brunch and great panel of speakers. Today we have yacht brokers, entrepreneurs, captains, and crew specialists sitting up here, and they're going to be telling you their advice, tips, and tricks on how they scaled their businesses and their careers to where they are today. So the main goal of this is that each and every one of you can leave with some sort of value added to your playbook, and as you continue your careers or pivot or do whatever you want to do with your lives, hopefully they can impart some wisdom on you. I'm going to be asking them all a series of questions, and then we will have time at the end for you to ask them anything else that might come to mind. So please feel free to stash those, you know, in the back of your brain, and then definitely utilize all of their time and experiences so that hopefully they can help you move forward. What?
The notebooks?
Yeah, they are there. I didn't know they were here today. All right, so we actually created some amazing notebooks as well. We can potentially pass them around. Brooks, if any of the crew is back there, maybe pass them forward. But there's a note section there. Otherwise, just write the notes out in your phone. Without further ado, we're going to go down the line. And ladies, if you'd like to introduce yourselves, that would be great. Just a quick couple sentences about who you are and why you're up here today. And then we'll go from there.
Perfect. Good morning, everyone. I'm Marcy Williams, the Director of Crew Services for Northrop & Johnson, based out of Fort Lauderdale. Thank you, Liam, Unbridled, and Oriana for organizing this. Everyone looks lovely this morning. I've been with Northrop for about 16 years in the crew industry since 1989, and crewed on yachts when I first started. So I'm looking forward to hearing what everybody has to say.
I am one of the 3%, so thank you, Captain Liam, very much for putting on this women's yachting event, and thank you for the shout out to the 3% of us. And that's not just in the yachting industry, that's all of maritime worldwide that us women represent as captains. So thank you so much for that push and that drive forward. If you don't know me, you know that my voice is huge in the mental health space, and my voice is huge in truly women supporting women and education of this industry. And I have been working diligently for the last 4 years while still being a full-time captain and a captain of a fleet to build a personal brand. So I'm thank you so much for having me here. Thank you so much for asking me to share my expertise and what it's like to build a personal brand. And I can't wait. And I'm so overjoyed to be in such a room full of amazing people.
And she looks fabulous. Let's give her a shout out. Woo! I love it. We actually started our conversation this morning. I talked to Captain Kelly about how she's transformed herself. And I'm proud of you, girl.
Thank you.
Of all of you. My name is Kim Swears. I'm also known as the Boat Boss. It was a spoof that was created many, many years ago as a joke when I visited my Hoboken, New Jersey. Anyone familiar with Hoboken? Carlo's Bakery. I went there with my son. We loved the show. And I walked in there, and at that point, I had a 5-location boat dealership. And I said, if this guy's making an empire off of this small little crappy food bakery, I can make it as a Boat Boss. And so my son was like, whatever. And so we went back home, and I'll go into that a little bit more and what I'm going to talk about, and created what is now known as the Boat Boss. And that was many, many years ago, well before I think there was a lot of influencers in the business. My real job is I have a boat dealership here in South Florida. Like I said, we are 5 locations. We've condensed down to one great location, and I've turned the dealership into a digital dealership based on a KPMG report I read many years ago, The Death of the Dealership and also The Customer of 2025. If you have a chance, read them. It's important that we focus on customer experience because we will lead, you will lead if you focus on the client. So that's what I do. I'm a cancer survivor. So thank you for tying in that great cause today.
Thank you, Kim. I actually do know that show and I love it. So I love that that's where everything inspired for you. I'm Andrea Tagliaferro. In the industry, I'm known as Yacht Dame, but I launched my platform, Yacht Femme, back in 2017 to celebrate and recognize women in the industry. I found that there was a lack of representation of women, not already in reality, there was a lack of women, but also digitally. So if you were looking for other women to actually like build communities or grow with, collaborate or get insights on how to build and get ahead, it was really, really hard because you couldn't find them on magazines, on social media. We weren't really on social media that much. So that has been my mission, to find women, tell the world what they're doing, and then with different projects, continue to showcase that it's not like women are going to be amazing. We already have amazing women in the industry in so many other sectors. Let's talk about them, inspire the next generation, and keep going. And outside of yachting, I actually am CMO at a tech startup, and I have helped on business development, the wonderful people at Yachting International Radio, Yachting USA, and many other wonderful brands out there.
Do you want to pass the mic back down here? Thank you, everyone, and thank you, Andrea. It was actually small world. We worked at VaynerMedia together outside of the yachting industry. So then coming together now, once again, within yachting, is just really, really funny and amazing. All right, Kelly, my first question is for you. And this is going into the personal branding side of what you've been able to create into this really, you know, truly empire, and you can't walk down the docks, I'm sure, without people stopping you, you know, every 2 feet asking, say hello, to take photos, all of that. And, you know, personal branding is something that's becoming so popular in the industry, you know, both from a personal perspective, but also to leverage your businesses, right? Businesses get more recognition if there's a personal identity behind them, right? Elon Musk, all those people, it's the way to do it. So my question for you is, what's the biggest challenge in building your personal brand, and what advice would you give to beginners? You can use that mic.
I want to start with the advice that I would give to beginners. And it's something that I remain true to 110% of the time. And I have been since I've been little bitty. I have always been a person, even as a little girl, what you see is what you get. And what I mean by that is to be authentic. If you are authentic 110% of this time, I don't care whether you're building a brand, whether you're building a business, whether you're trying to become a captain or you're trying to be the CEO of a company. If you are authentic 110% of the time, you will excel no matter what. And in a world of social media, sometimes the simplest thing, which is to be authentic, to just be yourself, can sometimes be the hardest thing. Going back to what's been the biggest challenge, it's a challenge that I'm encountering right now. And as you grow as a brand, I prefer to see life through my rose-colored glasses and think that everybody in this world is here to uplift each other and do good. And since this is a women's event, I'm personally struggling right now as I grow with who can you really trust? And this might be the ugly side of growing a brand that we don't want to talk about. But when you're growing a brand, and especially when you're starting to rocket and you're really starting to take off, you have to be protective of that brand and who you can trust. And since we're talking about women supporting women, you have to make sure that you align yourself with people that truly support you as a woman. And you have to make sure that when you are a woman supporting women, make sure that you're not blacklisting anyone. Make sure that you don't have something going on in the inside that's causing you to do exactly the opposite of what you're saying, being a woman, and truly support that woman. So right now I'm going through a growth stage and my brand, which is exciting. But as I go through that, I'm also learning that I have to, you can't always trust everybody. And that's the unfortunate side, because again, I like to live life seeing everything through my rose-colored glasses and thinking that, well, I'm here to do good, so everybody else must be too. So again, tying this back to women, us women supporting women, you truly need to be doing that and make sure that you're inclusive of all women. So that's my current challenge and current advice. But again, the number one thing and the one thing that I truly want you to hear is to be authentic, to be yourself. And even just right now, I'm sitting here going, but this is such a pretty space. And do I want to talk about some of the tougher parts of building a brand? But you asked me, what's the current challenge? And and that is one. And so this is part of me being authentic and part of me telling you what my brand is currently experiencing right now. And it's learning who I can trust, and it's learning who is truly here to support me and to support other women.
Now, I think that's amazing advice, and it's definitely a challenge. I think everyone, once they put themselves into the spotlight, has to face, right? Like, being authentic creates vulnerability, and that's super scary. And it gives people the ability to judge you, and you have to be ready for that. And it's going to happen. You probably can be the best at everything in life, and someone's going to still judge you. And yeah, especially in this small industry too, like, you really, it is scary to know who's on your side or who might be trying to leverage you for X, Y, and Z, or, you know, all of that as well. So there's a ton of obstacles that everyone has to face every day, and you're choosing to do it publicly. So we admire you for that.
Well, thank you. And again, authenticity, thank you. Authenticity and vulnerability. Like I said, be yourself 100% of the time. Be vulnerable. I am, as a leader, Captain Carey and I, this is conversations we've had about it. But I think if you can be vulnerable and you can be authentic, you will go to the moon and back 10 times over again.
I agree.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Andrea, if you don't mind passing the mic down to her. And for those of you in the crowd interested in building up a podcast, or if you've ever tried to take on that venture, it is not easy. Sure, you can get a mic, you can ask a couple questions to your friends, but creating a reputation and getting people, you know, who have presence within your industry, who are established, is difficult. Not a lot of people want to help beginners. So this question for Andrea is about, you know, when you're first starting out and you're trying to develop a brand from step one, what are tactics for landing some of those influencer people as guests on your podcast? And what advice would you give to people that are looking to attract speakers?
Thank you. This is a great question. I get asked all the time for people that are new, and I have to tell them that, well, I started in 2017, you're starting in 2024. There's a very different landscape that we're talking about. When I started in 2017, one of my first ever podcasts was Sarah Gionale from Heason. Like, I felt I had reached already the top on my first interview. And the reason was because no one had ever approached her. Can I feature you? Not Heason the brand, not everybody else. I'm not trying to get past you to get to someone else. So that's a very different landscape that you have now. Now we have, actually, there's multiple podcasts we see here. So we are now competing with people that get repeatedly asked, can you be part of mine? of my show, and immediately they get sent out, and I have a formulated email that explains exactly these are the questions, these are the goals, this is how I treat the episodes. So it's very important where we're in a world of NDAs and privacy concerns, that if you tell, you know, a great story in the middle of your podcast, can you edit it out? Because then corporate told you that had to be out. This is all part of landing those very big guests, because they know, they need to know that they can trust you with their image. They're not gonna edit it out to make it a better story for them. So of course, after you get one person that they feel they can trust and they see how you handle that interview, you can keep building. But I have to tell you, there was one episode that recently that a lot of people loved, that we did it three times. Because she didn't feel that she was represented the same way. And because it's like, if I'm here to really make you feel better and I want you on my podcast, yes, I did it three times to make sure that they felt the best way. And because they felt like that, it got shared everywhere. She felt proud and so on. So that in itself, it's already like the portfolio to get those big names on your podcast. And I actually want to share something that Captain Kelly said is, in my case, I have Yacht Femme, but I also started as a travel person. I also have the Yacht Femme platform, Yacht Dame, me as person. And I try to be authentic, but you get a very filtered view of my world, because I need Yacht Femme to be what it is, and I need the travel story to be what it is. And I know that every channel has a different audience and they're here for different things. So I try to not alienate my very different audiences by just being me on all of them, just because I have multiple. But yes, authenticity is so important. And they feel that when I approach them at the show and I want them to be on the podcast, and when they hear the digital version and they meet me in person, I was like, I wanted to make sure that what I heard was real. I was like, okay, now I trust you. Now I'll be on your show. But landing those really big people, it usually is an email, then a quick Zoom for them to verify this is the person that I have been digitally in contact. They give you the approval and then go. But that is more of a, people think like I just get them on the interview. No, there's actually a lot of coaching involved. I share with them my vocal tips. A lot of very few women feel they're worthy of being recorded, or I've had no shows the day before, no shows the same day that I'm like so excited I landed this person. They didn't show up because, you know what? English is not my first language. It's actually Italian. I don't feel that I'm going to speak well. And then I finally get them on the mic. You got it. I encourage them and they're reading all the questions. So I know that I empowered her to be on the podcast, but it's not going to be a good episode because the whole sound is going to be monotone. So there's a lot more personal coaching than what you actually see as a product, because the people I interview are only women, and women don't get asked enough to get a mic. So I hope I answered your question.
No, definitely. I think that the end to that point about, you know, the fact that you think you might be reaching out to someone who is up here and you're seeing yourself down here, but they might be scared too, right? Like, people don't automatically have experience on podcasts. I've been on both yours and Kelly's podcast, and it's scary. You know, there's no way to really prep for something like that. So I think that's really amazing advice, you know, making it an easy, comfortable transition for whoever you want to have on as a guest. So they feel comfortable and they are empowered to be their true self, because it's definitely can be intimidating. This actually segues really nicely into my question for Marcy next, which is talking about, you know, when you're up for a job, right? You used to submit a CV, have an interview, and that was kind of it. Now in the digital age, your employers, potential employers, can find out a lot more about you online. And when you're working, for better or for worse, right? For me, I mean, to be determined, but you know, it extends beyond that PDF, right? Beyond that printed sheet. So now that the digital age is kind of so transparent within our industry in particular, you know, Marcy, you lead up the crew division here. How would you feel that a crew's online presence influences the hiring decision for a captain or a brokerage? And what type of content should they potentially be looking to put out in order to help them? And then the third part of my question for you is, if they are putting out, you know, this content, can they potentially negotiate higher pay? So really, like, what within the, you know, digital world can crew be doing to leverage jobs? And is it a positive, a negative? And what are you seeing as this is all evolving?
Well, my personal thought is, if you have to ask yourself, should I put this out there for the entire world to see? The answer is more than likely no. But everybody's different. Everyone has a different personality. So somebody's yes should be a no, but it's still a yes. So you have to be really careful. You can offend people very, very easily with a political view, let's say,
right.
Or just a word that you use. People get very offended, I find, more now than it used to be. So you just have to be, you know, keep it clean, keep it, you want your mom to see it. And if your mom's going to be okay with it, then probably the rest of the world will as well.
Right.
I personally check social media prior to checking, prior to sending a resume. I've not done that in the past, and the bite really hurts. So you have to be really careful, be conscientious about who's seeing it, which is anybody and everyone. And just because you take it down doesn't mean it's gone.
That's
good advice. So, with that, and now I forget the rest of the question.
No, it was a lot of questions. I kept thinking of more as I was asking you. No, I think one that's interesting is, you know, we do have these crew influencers, right? And they're blowing up, they have millions of followers, and some boats do that as a positive, and some, you know, a negative, right? If you were in the position of being yacht crew and you are trying to build your social media, could this potentially be a tool to help negotiate higher pay for the charter boat you're working for, right? Because now you have this audience out there. Or is that something that you think the industry is still evolving into being receptive to?
I think as far as an individual person, it's still evolving. And I guess it may depend on what you do on the vessel. You know, if you're a videographer / deckhand,
yeah.
I think it would be helpful because they can see your content. Like what Liam's trying to do, branding Unbridled, like high in the social media, there's a few other yachts that are doing it. I think it attracts probably charter guests, mm-hmm. I would think, you know, based on mm-hmm. the content and all of that, because more and more people of all ages are turning to social media to see what's going on. I know TikTok's really huge. I don't think we don't really do Northrop & Johnson we don't really do TikTok as far as crew goes. I personally think it's for younger people. I could be very wrong. But again, will they get higher pay? I think your average Joe, probably not,
yeah.
Or chill in this case, sorry. Probably not until you build yourself, unless it's something that's specific.
Yeah.
Again, if you're a videographer, if you are maybe a chief stew and you do outlandish tablescapes, or if you have something that will be beneficial to the boat, probably. But if you're just making yourself more known, like, look at me, here I am, then probably not.
That's a good point. Focus on what you can deliver and what value you can give to others.
Yeah.
Rather than, oh, I love cool
building. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
In your G-string. No.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Not, no.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying you don't look great. I'm just saying it's probably not the right place.
Your mom doesn't probably want to see that.
Well, mom might not. Dad probably doesn't.
Dad doesn't. That's the barometer. Mom and dad both have to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. No, I appreciate that perspective. And it's definitely interesting, you know, to see how crew navigates that today. Kim, this next question is for you, if you don't mind passing the mic down. You know, you're building up your personal brand while also growing, you know, your empire, really, of your business. And the question for you is, what content and branding strategies have worked best when attracting new clients and driving boat sales specifically? Is there a social media platform that has essentially been the most effective for generating leads?
That's a great question. So, let's start with the platforms, and then we'll go with the tactics, because the tactics are different for each platform. And I'll tell a story about, I was at the Panthers game with my son, and my son is my biggest fan and probably the only one that believed in me from the beginning. And that you, not to build on what Kelly said earlier, is that you have to love yourself first and believe in yourself. And I did. And Chase, my son, was the only person in my life that believed in me. My husband did not, my ex-husband and my best friend, who are no longer in my life, chose not to support me. And so we as people have to make that decision about, do you believe in yourself? And I said, yes, I believed in myself. And I got rid of all the basement people in my life, as I called it. I'm the big keynote speaker at a lot of conferences, and I talk about wellness, mm-hmm. fitness, the right people in your life. And basement people are no longer in my life. They don't deserve a place in my life. And you all need to find those people and get rid of them or reduce them, because you will never grow as an influencer or a person or a professional with people holding you back like that. So let's go into the platforms. So Instagram has made me a face that if I have no Boat Boss on, people recognize me. So I was at the Panthers game and my son was, waiting to go into the ice cream, you know, I don't know, dispenser, if you will, container, refrigerator, at this really VIP section. And this guy's in there with his son and he turns around and he goes, "Oh my God, it's the Boat Boss." And I was like, you know, and my son was like, "Mom, that's so amazing that everywhere we go, anywhere in the world, people recognize you." No, it's not to the scale as Captain Kelly, you know, and Captain Sammy. But I mean, for me, I was like, I'm so humble. So remain humble. That's super important. You know, self-love, surround yourself with people that love you and support you, and then find the platform that works for you. So Instagram, back to your question, made me a face that people recognize. So show your life on Instagram, stories, reels, as much as you can. Everyone knows my son Chase. They know Fifi. Fifi and I have G-Wagon. It's called G-Wagon Unplugged. We're on the way to work and she and I sing all the way to work. And if you see, if you follow me, you'll see it. It's hilarious. Show your bloopers, show who you are. Yeah. And that will really help you when you're out and about. People be like, oh, and they want to know you and they want to do business with you. LinkedIn. I don't know if there's an old term, and I'm dating myself, called the gatekeeper. We all know who the gatekeeper is. It's the secretary that will not let you through to the CEO. LinkedIn, I have about 28,000 followers on LinkedIn. I get through all of the gatekeepers on LinkedIn. You literally have direct access to the CEOs. My first guest was David Folks, the CEO of Brunswick, on my podcast many years ago. Hit him up on LinkedIn and define who your mentors are. He's a mentor of mine. I said, listen, I don't know you. You don't know me, but you're a mentor in my life. And he's like, great. That's amazing that I don't know you. I'm your mentor. Had him on my show. It was one of my best podcasts ever. So LinkedIn, Instagram, two of my top ones. And then Facebook, I cannot stand. I wish it would go away. But it's for old people. And I guess we still have to do it.
Did I say that?
And then TikTok. And TikTok is sort of fun and that sort of thing. And then, yeah. Did I answer all your questions?
You did. Thank you. I'll ignore the Facebook question, but I don't disagree. The Facebook response, I don't disagree. Andrea, this question is for you. And I think, you know, when we're looking at building our business, right, and establishing ourselves and really breaking out into the industry of, you know, whatever vertical you may be in, it's difficult sometimes to understand where partnerships come into play and where you align with different individuals or companies or whatever that may be, right? And there's positive negatives of doing that for both, you know, social reasons, right, as well as with building your reputation. I think Kelly kind of alluded to some of that too. It's challenging sometimes to really know who's on your team, and that can play a role not just with your personal life but with your business. Andrea, you just started launching the Yacht Awards, right? And this brings together some of the top industry figures as judges from various extremely established companies. These are, you know, some of the largest companies in the yachting industry. Could you share some of the do's and don'ts of affiliate and partnership marketing for those who are looking to leverage this when growing their business?
Thank you so much. Yeah, the Yacht Awards is the first Women in Yachting Awards, partnered with Metstrade. It was a complete blessing. It was sort of like what the pinnacle I wanted to get to. And I thought, instead of like doing small projects and then having that momentum get me to the top, I thought, let me just cut this funnel and see, like, maybe if I shoot for the stars, I get it. And I did. And then it was shocking. And then, you know, the next step was like, how do we make this happen? Because with not only with an awards, entrepreneurs, small business owners, when you are small, they really look at who is the team behind it, because they don't know that logo. They don't know that brand. So, but then they'll look at who is the team and the talent you have collected there. And then they'll be behind it. Oh, yes. If these people are behind it and validate this mission, this is something I need to pay attention. So the judges that were supporting those names were really important to us. At the beginning, I actually wanted, I've never done an awards, thought, let me get 9 judges. And then I thought everyone in yachting. And actually someone advised me, this was not something that happened. Before it was just ChatGPT and me against the world. advised me to have judges from outside of the yachting industry to keep it as fair as possible. And I thought that was brilliant. But I had already reached out to 3 judges in the yachting industry. So I thought, okay, 3 are from yachting and 6 are not. And it was so interesting to see how they coincided. in the rankings of the women. So I thought that was wonderful because I had people from tech, from formerly Google, fashion, Bentley, and you name it. But then in yachting, those big names, Rose Diamond, Bob Dennison, who is a big supporter of women. And he, I'll tell you a little story about him. And then in Norma Tracy, a staple in the industry, of course. Bob has been a big supporter of mine for a very long time. I think we met because his wife discovered Yacht Damon. He told me that she was a fan. And after that, at the shows before I had a product or sponsorships to acquire, I just came here to build relationships with asking for nothing in return. I came, support, was at their events, and then just moved on. So when this was 2017. So now in 2024, when I actually had a project that made sense for them to be involved, it wasn't a first interaction that I was asking for something. So again, it's not the same if someone's launching something new in a new space and starting fresh. So I do have a leg up on that because I've been building those relationships. But still, when they said yes, I was shocked and completely thinking. I was like, do you understand the assignment? I'm asking you to dedicate at least this time. I was like, ChatGPT, how long does it take for so judges to actually like score on nominees? And so I would email them. It's like, I need you to take out like 3 hours of your busy day. Would that still be okay?
And are you reading this full email?
Do you really understand what I'm saying? I'm still going to be marketing your face and using you on my socials and all that stuff. And I have to say, every time someone says yes, I'm still every time shocked. And before, when I said about the podcast, when I get these big names, I have to hold myself to not be giddy because I'm there a fan of the other person. The other person's stressed out that they can't say a word. And I'm there like, don't laugh so much. They're going to look like you have a crush on them. So, those big names, they're hard. But I would say if you're new and you don't have the years of me building relationship, ask. You would be shocked at how many would have not been asked, like the first time I had someone on my podcast, and they were just dying to be asked. So many people, because we get to see on social and on conferences the same faces. So all the other faces that were not asked, you don't know that they're not asked and they rejected. No one has uncovered them. So you uncovering them, I see it as like, you're not asking from them, you're giving value back. You're giving them exposure. And if they don't want that kind of exposure, that's fine. Then you move on to the next one. I see it as like, how can I help them? And then in return, how can we help each other? And that has honestly been, it sounds easy. You get a lot of no's, but it's all actually a lot easier than you might think, especially when you're reaching out to a population that doesn't get asked
No, I think that's great advice. Alex and I definitely were giddy when we were figuring out speakers and, inviting you all. And then we got all these yeses. We felt kind of the way that you were just describing. Like, I can't believe these people are agreeing to be on our panel. So that was a very cool moment for us that I can, recently relate to you about. And I think, too, what you just said in terms of, establishing yourself as someone who provides value or just has interest, right, before you give that ask, right? Like, I launched my media company for months ago at this point, but I've been in the industry for 10 years, right? Like, I've gotten to know the key players, I've assisted at their booths in the boat show. I've stood in front of them, inviting clients on and giving tours. I've been doing all these things that eventually now when I can say, so do you need help with your marketing? They're like, actually, I do trust you, right? Like, you aren't just being my friend so you can take my money. And I think that's been, something that's been really interesting to learn and see come to fruition. I want to be cognizant of time. I know, it's a busy day at the show. And I do want to also leave some time for questions. I know that we're almost at that half hour mark. So if you guys don't mind, I'd love to just open it up to the audience and see if anyone does have those questions.
Okay.
And then we can go from there. So if you want to speak, if you have anything to say, questions, just want to say hi, feel free to raise your hands and we'll bring around a mic. Don't be shy. Somebody has a question.
Someone's got a question.
Judith?
I'd like to ask each one of you just to say, what got you into yachting? What was the first thing that got you each into the yachting industry?
I'll kick it off quick while Alex is bringing over the mic. But for me, I was working at the New England Aquarium. I was in the research department there. And I was actually the youngest diver to be asked to go on expedition trips with them to the Bahamas. So at age 14, I started living on boats and exploring what the oceans, looked like underneath the water. And from there, I learned about yachting and I went to school for something completely different. I thought I was going to be in biotech. I interned there and I said, you know what? Yachting is way cooler.
So I landed my first role as crew.
I'll continue with mine really briefly. It's not as exciting. I'm actually an architect. I was doing commercial interior design here in Fort Lauderdale. And if you live in Fort Lauderdale, you really can't throw a rock without hitting someone in yachting. So I ended up having friends in the yachting industry, a lot of crew. And then even though that relationship, I actually dated this former captain, didn't work out. I don't believe in like burning bridges. There's always a moment that you can talk. If it's not right now, when, you know, things cool down, go ahead and schedule that meeting when you actually possibly can. And that's actually what happened. This was very tremulous kind of relationship. And we went to have drinks and they drank a lot. They offered a position as a yacht designer. And the next day I told him, I'm cashing in. You know, you, when you were drunk, you told me there was a position. I want an interview with your head designer. And the head designer liked me. And even though there wasn't a position available, life happened that she needed to get rid of her naval architect because there was a conflict of interest with another firm that was coming into that project. And I was the only person she had talked to. So she had to hire me. So it was, don't burn bridges. And then I just shifted because the opportunity presented itself. I had never been someone that had seen the yachts and seemed like, oh my God, someday I'll be part of that. But it worked out. And then, yeah.
People do business with people they like, right?
So. Yeah. Amen. That's so true. Well, mine's a little cut and dry. I was an investor in my ex-husband's dealership. I mean, Megan knows my story, I think. A few of you do. So I started out in corporate America. I'm a tech head. I have a technology company, which I call my side hustle, which is a podcast app, 3 patents later, hoping to sell to somebody like Spotify, if you're listening, or Google.
Yeah, right.
It's pickcherries.com. It's an app. It's in the App Store and iOS Store. I'm a tech head that came up with an idea based on a podcast when I was started in 2019. But now hopefully we'll go somewhere. But how I got into it, I invested into a business and then left corporate America. I was building data networks around the world, connecting buildings, yachts, whatever you call it. I sold data and then entered into the boat business and brought that technical knowledge, if I will, and learned everything I could about boats and yachts. And not yachts, but back then it was boats and outboards and inboards and manifolds and risers. And, you know, what I told someone today about what a flywheel was, when in your, you know, everything I could learn, I did. And it earned me a seat at the table. So wherever I go, when I talk to a client, they say to me, I cannot believe how much you know about the mechanical side of the business. And so my words of advice to you are, it's not just about a pretty face and a great following, but you have to show up and you have to be able to say it and walk that talk.
So I grew up in North Central Indiana, really close to yachting, lots of water around. So for those of you that, or know of anyone that thinks that this is something that's so far out of grasp or has grown up in the middle of a landlocked area, this is so possible. But at the age of 15, I dropped out of high school, had been bullied a lot, had grown up to be about the size I am now then. And so I quit high school at 15 and went on to weld for a while. And then I said, well, welding and running the farm is not really going to work. Went back to college and thought I'd make up for dropping out of high school at 15. And I got my master's degree in chemistry, which again is directly related to yachting, right? And so I found myself teaching at a university in Eastern North Carolina, and it was actually a returning student. She was changing careers for the second time. She was a big part of this community that was apparently a big stop on the East Coast from north to south of the yachting community that I had no idea of. And she just wanted to show me around the town. And I said, look, I can't do that until grades are turned in. Lo and behold, the day I turned grades in, she called me up and she says, okay, I want to show you around town. I don't really think you realize what such a beautiful place and a cool little town you lived in. That's Beaufort, North Carolina. You've got to know it on the transit north and south. And the first thing that we went and did was a party on a yacht. And I'll never forget the day that we're walking down the docks and I'm standing shoulder to shoulder and I look up and I said, is that a yacht? And she said, it is. And we got to the sea stairs and she says, well, climb up. And I got 1 foot under the back deck. And I said, this is what I want to do. I didn't know 16 years ago, bow from stern, port from starboard. And now I'm proud to say that I drive the bitches. So my start into the industry was the furthest you could get from it. So really, the sky is the limit.
That's a good story. Mine's not that good. I was very young, finished school, ran away from a boy to California. Boy followed, came back to Fort Lauderdale, didn't know anything about yachting, didn't really go south of the tunnel. And I was at the beach because I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I was contemplating life at the beach, and I ran into two guys. Dennis DeLong, I don't know if any of you know him, he's here in town, and John Chulo, may he rest in peace. I'm like, hey, what are you guys doing? We're yacht captains. I'm like, you're at the beach every day. I'm like, I want your job. So I went and I made a resume, faked it the whole, I did not recommend doing it.
You review resumes.
It was all 100% farce. Went and saw Norma Therese, who sent me out on an interview. I'm sorry, Norma. And I got the job and I was on board for 5 years.
I love that.
And that's how it all started.
That is a good story.
Went into
and now you review resumes.
Right.
And now I review resumes, believe me, quite closely. And then kind of the rest is history. I got mad at my boss one night and I quit after 5 years on a Sunday. Monday, I bought a dog. Tuesday, I worked for Bob Saxon.
Wow.
And I just progressed from there.
I love that order.
You have to buy a dog, otherwise you're always going to go back. It always sucks you back in.
Pass it down to Liam if you want. I think a quick question, but we're at time. We will have time also afterwards to kind of mingle and ask individual questions. And all these ladies are also on social media. So if you do want to get to know them more, feel free to reach out to them at their handles. That's all linked in our Particle invite. So you should be able to contact them there. But I just wanted, before I pass it up to Liam again, thank you to everyone who helped set up this seminar, not only this one, but the whole series. It truly took an entire village. You know, me and Alex and Liam sat in the bridge what seems like forever ago now and was like, so how are we going to do this thing? The power behind the team and the crew that Liam has created here is far to none, whatever that expression is, but you guys rock it. So thank you so much, you know, not just you, but the whole crew here, because you really made this possible and it wouldn't have been possible without you.
All the further questions, it's pretty simple. I just love the ocean. Love my wife and love the ocean. They're the two things I'm the most fondest of in the world. Two kids and a Labrador dog as well. But I'll defer and just have any final thoughts if you want to pass it along the line. Any final thoughts for everyone out there?
Sure. Final thoughts would be, she already said, go follow us. But any support on the awards for women in yachting coming up November 19th, I would really appreciate. When I say we, it's me and someone else that's helping me a little bit. So any support on awareness, it's more than welcome and hugely beneficial. As Oriana said, it takes a team and the team gets already burned out. So imagine the burnout. I forgot. I stopped counting how many days I get burned out. So appreciate it. That's all.
My mentor, Steve Jobs, said, leave your spot in the world, so find your why. Excuse me. Cancer made me realize the two best days of your life are the day you were born and the day you know why. I found my why, and it's cancer, and now I've graduated into the Survivor Program after 10 years of a journey, 8-year journey of cancer. So find your why. Thank you. Find your why. Find your why, whether it be in the industry or outside. A new initiative on my platform, on the Boat Boss platform, is boating safety, and I'm the Master of Ceremonies of the International Boating and Water Safety Summit in Glendale, Arizona, in April of next year. Boating safety, we all talk about it. Captain Harley, Captain Kelly, we all know about it. It's so important that, and you even told me about your story. You should share what happened.
Joel,
super important.
Joel, the deckhand.
Okay, well, it was an amazing story about safety, but find your why, bring it to your platform, and make a difference in the world, and leave your legacy. And they call it, what's the word I'm looking for? I forgot. Old age.
It's day five. It's okay.
My last words are, they're thank yous. They're thank you to Liam, but it's really thank you to Liam's crew. Not to take away from you, Liam, but your crew, like, they did this, and thank you so much to them, and thank you so much to you and to Alex for making this happen. But for me personally, thank you to my crew, because I could not be here. I could not have the social media presence and the brand that I have without my crew. It's my crew that allowed me to take my engineer away during yard period to Monaco for 2.5 weeks to make my brand happen. And to my social media team, I'm a full-time captain. So when you guys ask me, how do you do this? And I can't do it without a team. So thank you to my social media team. And then the last thing I want to share, and it's something that I'm really, really, really proud of, because it's taken me a year to get this done, is the day before yesterday, we announced the launch of our nonprofit, Yachty Minds Matter. And what Yachty Minds Matter, it took me a year of working with the IRS to get this pushed through. So if you've ever built a 501c3 in the United States, you know that it takes work. Yachty Minds Matter will provide the funding for any crew member or any shoreside support staff that needs therapy, regardless of where you are, regardless of your nationality, regardless of what you make or you don't make financially. If you need the financial support to receive therapy or counseling, Yachty Minds Matter is going to provide that. Furthermore, you guys know that my background is in education, and I'm huge about that. If you have the desire to take a mental health first aid course and your boat won't pay for it, or you don't have the funds to pay for it, Yachty Minds Matter will pay for that too.
Wow, I'm honored to be up here with you ladies and Liam. If you want something, go for it. Don't take no for an answer. Yeah. Try and go about it the right way. I love, love, love what I do. I just want great people in this industry, and seeing all of you is just super fantastic. So I wish everyone a great last day of flips.
I love that. I love that. My last thing would be ask the hard questions to each other and to yourselves, right? Provide feedback, and the honest feedback, the feedback that you don't want to hear. It's great, you know, to tell us we're doing a good job, or, oh, I liked your video, but like, we're all trying to grow and become better versions of ourselves. And sometimes we don't know how we come across or how some person's perspective, you know, can be portrayed within. So we're putting ourselves out there for all of you to judge. And if you have any uncertainties or questions, or you're like, what do you mean? You kind of seem like a bit of an asshole. You know, definitely, at least for me, and I'm sure a lot of you out there, you know, message us, get to know us, and give us that feedback. And, you know, we'd be happy to do that for you as well. So thank you guys all. And I'll pass it to Liam for any final words too. But
For me, folks, it's just be blessed. Be blessed for the people around you. Be grateful for the people around you. Enjoy Moti Yacht and Bridal. It's a beautiful energy. It's a beautiful gift Mr. Glidewell's given us in this platform. And I believe a lot in spirituality and time. So take the time, enjoy the boat, enjoy the people around you. God bless and safe seas.
Thank you, guys.